From Indiana to Middletown, Martinsburg to Lansdale, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week. It is a time for high school students to learn and understand the link between personal freedom and economic opportunity. Carl Marrera from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association has a Capital Watch discussion with Scott Lee from the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education. And it happens every 10 years, the redrawing of congressional district lines. Since Pennsylvania is losing one seat, someone is going to be left standing when the game of musical chairs stops. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Carl Marrera and Scott Lee in just a couple of minutes, but first we have news headlines from patownhall.com. Pennsylvania's gaming industry has clearly rebounded from the pandemic. The state's fiscal year ended on June 30th, and gambling revenue from 14 casinos, fantasy sports operations, and truck stops hit the $3.9 billion mark. That was 17% higher than the previous high revenue mark. Helping the industry to the record-breaking number was the opening of new casinos in Philadelphia and in Westmoreland County. The Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education's Board of Governors has approved a plan to merge six state universities. Bloomsburg, Mansfield, and Lock Haven universities will be merged into one school, while Clarion, California, and Edinburgh universities will merge into another. The merger comes as the system faces crippling financial issues due to declining enrollment and rising costs. The Wolf Administration's emergency procurement process utilized during the COVID-19 pandemic is coming under legislative scrutiny. State Representative Jason Ortitai is conducting hearings into the process, which allows state agencies to bypass competitive public bidding to acquire urgently needed goods and services. Ortitai said the Wolf Administration's process for letting such contracts was not very transparent. Spotlight PA estimated costs for the contracts totaled over $340 million in the last fiscal year, up from an annual average of $81 million. Although new district lines have yet to be drawn, candidates are lining up for congressional seats. In the Lehigh Valley, former Lehigh County Commissioner Lisa Scheller has announced she will take another run at unseating incumbent Democrat Representative Susan Wild. Scheller lost the 2020 election to Wild by 4 percentage points. Scheller has been endorsed by 7 of the 9 incumbent Republican congressmen representing Pennsylvania as she begins her 2022 race. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. The mission of the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education is to heighten the awareness of Pennsylvania's youth about their future role in the American free enterprise system. They do this by delivering high-quality and practical hands-on learning experiences. This summer, high school students from across Penn's Woods are traveling to Williamsport to participate in Free Enterprise Week. Carl Marrera from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association sits in for David Taylor for a Capital Watch discussion with Scott Lee from the Foundation. Carl?
Welcome to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, Carl A. Marrera, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. And this week, we're going to highlight a program that is very near and dear to the hearts and minds of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, and quite honestly, for many of our allies. Created in 1979 by a group of foresighted business leaders in Northwest Pennsylvania, the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education addresses the compelling and the urgent issue of workforce preparedness by offering interactive, impactful programs that help students develop job-ready skills for today's employers. The Foundation's programs include the Stock Market Game, the Speaker Series, but the hallmark of the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education is the Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week, often referred to as PFEW. This week-long immersive business simulation for high school students explores the ins and outs of this program, and we're going to explore the ins and outs of this program in the coming minutes. Joining us to tell us more about PFEW and the other programs of the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education is Scott Lee. Scott Lee is the Foundation's Vice President of Marketing and Development. He's based in Erie, Pennsylvania. Scott, thank you so much for joining us on Capital Watch.
Oh, thank you, Carl. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Scott, let's pretend that I am the parent of a high schooler. I am not, but I mean, in a few years, I guess I will be. And we're stuck in an elevator together and we're going up 10 stories. You've got 45 minutes. What do you tell me as a parent about PFEW and why I should send my student to the program?
Well, let me just put it to you this way. I would say to you that Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week has been around for 43 years, and what we do is we immerse high school students in the world of business. Business education and economic education is not required by our school systems, so we basically provide the environment for high school students to explore careers, to understand and celebrate business and the American free enterprise system, and also develop the skills that today's employers are demanding. Your intro was fantastic. But I tell you that above all of that, the learning takes care of itself, but above all of that, this has the potential to be a career-changing or potentially a life-changing week-long experience. We have students that come out of this program saying, this was the best week of my summer, this was the best week of my year, and even sometimes this was the absolute best week of my life. Music to our ears. What we try to do is try to develop the next generation of Pennsylvania business leaders.
Well, take us back to the beginning. How did the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education start, and how did PFEW begin, and how has it changed and expanded over the years?
Okay, so back in 1978, a group of Erie area business people got together for breakfast, and they were having trouble finding and retaining quality employees. The folks coming out of high school and even out of college just simply didn't have the knowledge of business, nor did they possess the skills that would make them good employees. So a couple of them traveled out to the state of Washington, and they saw a program similar to PFEW, and they decided to bring it back. And basically, the model is that students form their own actual manufacturing companies, and they have a computer simulation where they make the same decisions that modern business people do every day, and they compete against each other. So basically, they're thrown into the world of business feet first. The beauty of the program is that, they form teams of strangers that don't know each other, and they're given an adult business mentor whose only sole responsibility basically is to never answer a question during their week. they ask questions in response to, stimulate thought and to kind of guide them back into, coming up with their own answers and stuff. But again, this immersion in business, they found that the students were coming out of Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week with the exact skills and certainly the understanding of business and the appreciation of business that they just weren't getting in school. So that's how it got started. Over the years, that first program, by the way, took place at Clarion State Teachers College back in the day, and it involved about 75 to 100 students and about 50 volunteers. And today the program has grown into a statewide program. In a typical year, not a COVID year, but in a typical year, we try to host 2,200 students statewide over 5 week-long sessions. It's grown into the largest program of its kind in the world, and we're quite proud of that.
And where does the program take place?
It takes place on the campuses of Lycoming College and the Pennsylvania College of Technology in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We've been at Lycoming for, I believe, 31 years now, and I think we're entering our 13th year at Penn College next year. So our two host campuses have been so very good to us. We love it there. It's a centralized location. They're very closed campuses where the students will be immersed in the college experience as well. So not only does it provide the business education, but also the college experience. And we're very grateful to, both Lycoming and Penn for everything they do for us.
And these institutions really believe in your mission so much that there are some real benefits for students who go through the program that might decide to attend one of those institutions. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, it's an amazing not a quid pro quo, but Lycoming College offers a $5,000 per year scholarship, total of $20,000 to any PFEW graduate who chooses to attend Lycoming College. Pennsylvania College of Technology offers a $2,000 per year, total $8,000 scholarship to any PFEW student. Now, it doesn't matter which campus you attend PFEW on, these offers stand, and quite honestly, it's one of the most fantastic things. I mean, we all know what the cost of college is like today, and these very generous scholarships are offered by the schools just because they know the quality and the caliber of the student that comes through PFEW, and they want those folks on their campus.
Well, take us through a week in the life of PFEW from a student's perspective. What kinds of competitions, activities, and interaction can a student expect? And, I mean, why should parents and educators encourage their students to take a week out of their summer and attend a program like this?
Well, that's a great question. So I'll walk you briefly through a quick, you know, just a really elevator speech of what the week looks like. The students arrive on campus on a Sunday. They register. We get them into teams of about 16 to 17 students per company. They are all from all different parts of the state. So, in other words, no two people from the same school, hopefully even the same county, are in the same company. We do that on purpose. I mean, when you get out into the real world and you don't get to choose who you work with. So we put them together with strangers. We pair them up with an adult business mentor, and they form this company. They are given an industry, and the industries are like, you know, outerwear, power tools, household appliances, candy, footwear, et cetera. And they compete against two other companies within their industry. So basically, they make 12 quarterly decisions over the course of the week, and basically they make decisions on production levels and pricing, how much to invest in advertising and marketing, research and development, product development, all the kinds of things, quality management, all the kinds of things that real business managers do. So their decisions are weighed against their competitors' decisions using a computer simulation owned by us. It's a college-level simulation, and they are given outputs, based on the merits of their thing. We throw business cycles at them, so there will be boom times, there will be recessions. So they really get to experience the full cycle of American business during this simulation. All throughout the week, they have world-class speakers come in and talk to them about all sorts of things, leadership, communication, entrepreneurship, business and government, all these things, motivation, anything that deals with their personal and professional development. That's the wonderful part of this whole thing, in addition to the learning experience.
Wonderful. Well, you're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, Carl Moreira, and joining me is Scott Lee of the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education. You mentioned soft skills, and I mean, more important than ever, workforce preparedness remains the most critical need for Pennsylvania businesses, whether it's the Business Climate Index survey that's done by the Lincoln Institute here, or, I mean, any other key benchmarking exercise within the business community. Finding employees has bubbled up to be the top issue that employers face. Often soft skills and a basic understanding of just how a business operates is missing from young people today. How does PFEW aim to change that?
So the beauty about PFEW, Carl, is that, you know, you could be sitting there, and we get students all the time. They'd say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with business. I want to be a doctor. I don't want anything to do with business. I want to, you know, be a scientist. And guess what? When they leave Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week, they understand that no matter if you're accepting a paycheck, signing a paycheck, providing a service for remuneration, everything, no matter what career path you choose, everything is about business. And they really have to understand the fundamentals of how business operates. They need to know what kind of skin their employers have in this game. They need to know how much it costs employers to, you know, even have employees. They need to understand the basics so they can in turn turn that around and provide all of their energies to their employers and to their careers. We're very proud of the fact that, you know, this program is entirely funded by the PA private sector, the business community, chambers, foundations, all organizations who believe in this workforce preparedness and development.
Well, you have some other programs that the foundation offers. Let's start with the speaker series. What is it? Why is it important? And where can listeners of this program find it?
So the speaker series was created last summer when we were forced to cancel PFEW due to COVID. It was the brainchild of our president and CEO, Karen Musani. It started off very simply as us being able to bring some of our fantastic PFEW speakers to our students and to the general public on Thursday nights. It was a way for us to kind of have PFEW, or at least some of the magic of PFEW. But then it grew. Karen's vision was very clear, and it grew into this workforce preparedness and career exploration device. So what it consists of, Carl, is basically a series of 15 to 30 minute videos that are done by, you know, business people, you know, from all walks and all careers. And basically what they do is they talk to our viewers about, you know, what a typical day in the life looks like for a particular career, what education is going to be required to get you into that career, what are some things that you're going to need to know and the skills that you're going to need to develop in order to succeed in these kinds of careers. It basically takes the shroud off and demystifies a lot of career choices, you know, really dives into the meat of it. The nice thing is that the speakers that offer these speaker series videos are available for further one-on-one consultation should a viewer choose to reach out and, you know, develop maybe potentially even a mentor relationship. Our speakers are very generous in that way. But basically, it is offered to anybody, and it's targeted for middle and high school students to really explore some careers and fulfill some career education work standards that are required by the state.
So the third program that falls under your umbrella is a new program for your foundation, and that's the Stock Market Game. Tell the listeners about this program and the hopes that you guys have for this program for the future.
The Stock Market Game is about as old as PFEW is, as a matter of fact. I believe it was started in 1979 by the SIFMA Foundation up in New York City. And basically what the Stock Market Game does, it's an in-school program. So, you know, as opposed to PFEW, which is out of school, the Stock Market Game is an in-school program for middle and high school students, anyone from grades 4 through 12. And basically what these students do is they form teams of 2 to 3 students. They're given an imaginary $100,000, which they invest in the stock market. So what they do is they, you know, these teams have to research stocks. They actually get on and through the use of, you know, software. They actually make trades. They buy stocks, they make trades, they short sell, they do everything. They basically immerse themselves in the world of you know, competitive trading, and they learn all about investing, the stock market, certainly personal finance, you know, the ins and outs of the global capital markets, how the global capital markets affect our economy and vice versa. It's just a terrific tool to help students improve their financial literacy and get them on a solid foundation for not only creating a stable financial future, but for investing. It breaks down barriers for these students who might have thought that investing is only for rich people or investing is only for, you know, a certain group of people. They actually get on there and they make trades and stuff. And at the end of the day, at the end of the period, whether it's a semester-long or full-year-long session, whoever came out with the most return on their initial $100,000 investment wins.
So COVID-19 has certainly presented many challenges for in-person events. I mean, PFEW was no exemption to this. How did you and the staff at Foundation for Free Enterprise Education overcome these challenges? Because you guys are back, and I think maybe you're better than ever. But how did you do it?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna harken back to what I said before. It's all due to the vision of our president and CEO, Karen Musani. I mean, I know she's the first one to, you know, credit her team and everything, but her extraordinary vision, you know, kept us employed through COVID. We were able to get some PPP funding, which helped us out dramatically. But then again, the vision carried out. We knew we were going to have to cancel PFEW back in, I believe it was May of 2020. So that bore an entire brand new program called the Speaker Series, which totally takes, you know, our education in a different level, and it focuses totally on career, you know, career exploration and workforce development. So I guess you could say, while we would never say that COVID was a good thing, it enabled us to not only create this brand new program, but to really improve on Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week in the stock market game.
One of the things that I think is most important that the students learn throughout this week is that profit is not a dirty word, that the American free enterprise system is alive and well. And quite honestly, the whole reason that those students are sitting in those seats is because of the generosity of business owners. How do you guys work with the students to really understand, because a lot of these students are really only exposed to news stories of bad actors in the business community, and we know that that's not the case. But how do you see that transition happening with students' mentalities?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the bad news sells the newspapers, right? But, you know, the bottom line is these students come in with probably, you know, many come in with some preconceived notions about, you know, business and what the business community is. And, you know, there's a lot of things obviously going on in this day and age that are not necessarily business positive. So what PFEW does is it gives them a chance to kick the tires and really understand the machinations of business. And quite honestly, to your point about profit, Carl, they look at this profit and they see, wait a minute, because of this profit, we can do good things. We can give back to our community. We can expand our operations. We can do all these things, and it would not be possible without profit. So you destigmatize and make profit a very very positive thing. To see those light bulbs go off and then finally get to understand and experience the free enterprise system from a practitioner standpoint as opposed to a consumer standpoint, it is magic. It is gold. So hopefully, you know, all these students, the thousands that we put through these programs, are finally understanding that, hey man, business is our future. This is why we need to embrace it. This is why we need to understand it. And actually, I love it, and I'm going to change my major.
Well, Scott Lee, the Vice President of Marketing and Development for the Foundation for Free Enterprise Education, thank you so much for joining us on Capital Watch. Where can the listeners go to learn more about PFEW, the speaker series, and the stock market game?
Best place to do is visit our brand new retooled website. It is www.pfew.org. All three programs are featured there, and there's some fantastic resources on there. We encourage everyone to go and take a look at our website.
And as always, you can learn more about the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association at pamanufacturers.org. Scott Lee, thank you so much for joining us. And to all of our listeners, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
As is typical when the left can't win, their go-to tactic is to change the rules. This was done successfully last year in a number of states, including Pennsylvania, where election laws were changed in a manner that benefited Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, but which ultimately destroyed confidence in the election outcome. An equally important battle is being fought over the ground rules that govern the process of redrawing congressional district lines. Republicans control both chambers of the Pennsylvania legislature. Democrats see themselves at a disadvantage, so their allied front groups, like so-called Fair Districts PA, have been working hard to change the process. It is a constitutional requirement that the number of congressional districts allocated to each state must be reapportioned following the decennial census. This is to take into account population shifts among states to ensure the most equal representation possible. That has occurred, and Pennsylvania has again lost one congressional district as our population has grown at a much slower rate than that of other states. So not only must the lines be redrawn to take into consideration population shifts, but one district must be eliminated, dropping Penns Woods to just 17 congressional seats. When the game of musical chairs stops, someone is going to be left standing. The fight is now over who and where. If you think the process through which laws are passed is fair, then you must also view congressional redistricting as fair. That is because the redrawing of congressional district lines follows the exact same process. Input is gathered, a bill is drafted, the bill must win a majority of votes in both chambers of the legislature, and then it must be signed by the governor. National Democrats attempted to wrest majority control of the Pennsylvania General Assembly from Republicans in last year's elections, directing tens of millions of dollars in out-of-state money into legislative and Senate races. It was a spectacular failure, as they were unable to add a net of even one seat in either chamber. Concurrently, the left has been agitating to change the redistricting process by advocating for a new law that would create a citizens' commission to redraw the lines. The commission would be appointed by the governor, who happens to be a Democrat. Aside from the laughable assumption that any citizen who might sit on such a commission would be nonpartisan and neutral, the entire proposal was a solution in search of a problem and specifically designed to minimize Republican control over the process and advantage Democrats. Fortunately, that has not happened, and with the granular data needed to begin the line-drawing process expected to be released by the Census Bureau next month, the General Assembly is preparing to do its duty. How that will unfold was outlined recently by legislative leaders. Quote, "The House Republican Caucus has said we are committed to a fair, open, and legal process to draw new district lines to preserve our ideal of one person, one vote," said House Majority Leader Kerry Benninghoff in announcing a series of public hearings that began this month in Harrisburg and which will extend through October in all areas of the Commonwealth. Additionally, a website, paredistricting.com, has been launched so that the public can submit comments electronically. The website also gives individuals the ability to submit their own proposed redistricting map. For their part, state senators have also pledged to hold an open and transparent process. Ultimately, after public input has been gathered, a proposed map will be put to a vote in both chambers and sent to Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, for signature. Lurking in the background, however, is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Following the 2020 census, new districts were drawn and passed by the legislature in a bipartisan vote. The new map initially survived legal challenges before the high court, but after three highly political activist justices were elected in 2015, the court accepted a case challenging the map, ruled it unconstitutional, and then, in an unconstitutional act of its own, imposed a new congressional district map by judicial fiat. The result was a net three-seat gain by Democrats. Bottom line, the congressional redistricting process will proceed under the time-honored constitutional process used in past years, with a Republican-controlled legislature committed to public input and transparency. In the end, though, it remains to be seen whether Governor Tom Wolf and/or the state Supreme Court hijacked the process for partisan political gain. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 26 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WPDC-AM in Elizabethtown, WIOV-FM in Ephrata, along with WERG-FM at Gannon University in Erie, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
Thank you.